Hey, good evening. Sorry for the little delay. And welcome to our village board meeting on Monday, June 12th. And a sultry day it is. It's a little off after 7:05. If I can ask the clerk to please take the roll call.
Trustee Corsini?
Here.
Trustee Carci?
Here.
Trustee Vasquez?
Here.
Trustee Conti?
Here.
Trustee Hennick?
Here.
Trustee Gibbs?
Here.
President Odusi?
Here. And if I can ask everybody to please stand to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. Okay, there are no citizens' comments. I see a few citizens here. Okay, next up is the elected official comments and announcements. So if I can ask maybe Trustee Corsini to start.
Sure, thank you. I can't remember the last time we had our meeting, but I, myself and Trustee Conti and President Ducey and staff members attended the Celebrating Seniors Business and Community event at Dominican University on May 23rd. It was very informative. We had a great speaker, and we had a great lunch and panel discussion, and just very interesting dynamics and statistics about aging populations and the types of opportunities and the types of challenges that it produces for communities. And so it's just definitely something that we need to be aware of when we're thinking about our services to our citizens. So it was a great event, and happy to be there. And that's all I have to report. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Carmela. Trustee Carci?
Just congratulations to the 2017 graduates of Oak Park River Forest High School.
Oh, yeah.
Your
son.
My son.
Yeah.
And also congratulations to the girls softball team,
right,
which won the state championship over the weekend. That's two in a row.
Just one. Congratulations for being president at the West Central Municipal Conference. Susan and I attended as well. So did Eric, a few of the staff as well. It was a great attendance, and we were glad to be there. And of course, it represents River Forest quite highly. So
thank you. Thank you very much. Very much appreciated. Trustee Conti?
Same. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Make River Forest proud. It was a lovely event. I'd almost forgotten about it. It seems like forever. but other than that.
Thank you. Trustee Hennick?
I'm just thrilled to actually be at the table this
yeah,
meeting.
Welcome back.
I also have an Oak Park grad, so congrats to the grads.
Yeah.
Had a great time at the Memorial Day Parade, and good job on the video, John. That was cute. It was fun.
Great, thank you. Trustee Gibbs?
Again, the highlight of the spring for me is the parade. I enjoy it greatly, as many of you know. But I was also blessed to see my twins graduate from Roosevelt last week. It was a very nice event. They hosted at the high school, and then they corralled all the kids into the cafeteria for their dance, which was interesting to sit and watch. So I'm a one and done, two kids, but same graduating class. So they'll be Huskies 2021. That's very exciting. On a more personal note, for those of you who don't realize, the Illinois High School Association recognized me at the Boys State Track and Field Meet as the honorary referee, which is kind of like their officials Hall of Fame for the IHSA. So my wife and kids made it down. It was pretty cool. So,
congratulations. That's great.
I forgot about that. See, it's been so long.
Yeah.
Since last meeting.
Exactly. I completely forgot about Wally Amos. So, yeah, it was a wonderful event. So thank you for remembering that. Yes, so a few things. I agree with Trustee Gibbs. I think the highlight of May is always our parade. And I want to congratulate the staff under Eric's leadership, and all of you for putting together and organizing such a wonderful event. The bags were a hit in River Forest. I mean, people are clamoring to get more, so congratulations on that. I like the balls, but the,
yeah.
but the,
something
for the kids.
The front end loader is always a nice touch, John.
Right. The front loader is good, and, of course, the candy that Mike provides is always great. So, great job. Thank you so much. I know it takes a lot of work. And, of course, congratulations to, yes, the graduates, all the graduates in River Forest and Oak Park as well. I know how difficult it is and how kind of sweet and sour it is a little bit, but it's all good. So congratulations to all of them. A few things that I attended recently, other than the Dominican event that Trustee Corsini and Conti talked about, I also attended this weekend several things. Friday, of course, the West Central Municipal Conference dinner with several people. I also attended Hepsipalooza event on Saturday, and I was invited to say a few words regarding Marianne Brown. And of course, you all know Marianne. She is Hepsipah. I mean, she has, well over 44 years of service, and she has created a nice place for family and children to go to. So I'd like to, at some point in time, probably create a resolution for Marianne. She is a River Forest resident, and I know we've got a couple other commemorative things that we want to do, so we're going to kind of put them all together. The third thing I attended was the Trailside Museum. They had a little, and I actually didn't know about this until late, but they were celebrating 85 years of public facility, even though the Trailside, the building was there since, I believe, Jan, now you can give me wrong, 1894? Am I right there? Okay. And it was called the River Forest Institute. And it was, but then it was taken over by the Forest Preserve in 1932, and at that time they made it public, and so that's why the 85 years of celebration. So Commissioner Silvestri was there, along with President Pretwinkle, to congratulate the group of the Forest Preserve. So it was a wonderful event. And that's all I have.
Point of order, too, that we also attended the lovely reception from District 90. Trustee Vasquez and President Ducey, they finally found a home for the bas-relief of George Washington from School that's been stored in our public works. And it's beautifully displayed in the garden in front of the old schoolhouse, which is now the district office, and quite an appropriate place for it. And it's lovely. And if you have a chance to go there, it's really... showcases it very well. So,
thank you.
I forgot about that too.
Thank you. Yes, excellent. And thank you to JD and many residents that really worked hard. And I guess our own public works staff who have been dragging that piece of concrete around for 19 years. I really couldn't believe it. So, holy cow. So, it's all good. And we got a couple more, but we'll find a home for it. So, okay, with that, we'll be moving on to the rest of the agenda, which is the consent agenda. And there are two motions. So if I can get the first motion is to approve the consent agenda items A through K with a revised item H in the amount of $1,687,929.04, right?
Well, before anyone steps in, we'll want to amend that motion to be items A
through
C. And then C, because we're going to pull B. And we'll talk about B in executive session.
Oh, right.
The motion will be in items to approve item A and then C through K in the revised amount, and with H in the revised amount of $1,687,929.04.
Can we also pull, item F?
Item F. Okay.
Thank you.
So the new motion.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I don't want to steal your thunder.
No, it's not my thunder.
Is the you make a motion to approve item A, item C through E, and then item G through K with item H in the revised amount of $1,687,929.04.
I'll make that motion.
Okay. And your second. All right. Okay. So any discussions on those items?
So you're saying executive session, we'll talk in executive session.
We're going to wait till the end. We'll hold those to the end of the meeting and then go into executive session.
Right, to discuss the meeting notes.
Because we made some changes.
The reason why I pulled item F out is I just had a conversation with...
Well, we're not on item F yet. So let's just, we're staying with
the
ones...
You want to approve the ones?
Yeah, and then we'll go into F. So no comments or questions on those. Then let's go ahead and take a vote on A, C, D, E, G, H, I, J, K, with H being amended to the 1,687.
President,
yes.
Do you want the village attorney to provide an update on why we're breaking this?
Yeah, when we get to, why don't we do, there wasn't a question. So when we get to the motion, the second motion, either Mike or you can explain.
I'll provide the explanation shortly.
Yep, okay, super.
Okay, so I'll read.
Yes, read. Yes, thank you.
Consent agenda, A, regular village board meeting minutes, May 22nd, 2017. C, approval of change order number one and final for the William Street Alley improvements for $2,379.90. Change order is the best interest of the village. D, approval of annual maintenance payment to Acela Inc. for the village's enterprise resource planning software for $23,320.53. E, establish the prevailing rate of wages for laborers, mechanics, and other workers employed in performing construction public works projects for the village ordinance. G, authorization to declare surplus and sell 1992 Darley Spartan fire engine ordinance. H, approval of accounts payable, April 2017, $1,687,929.04. I, monthly department reports. J, monthly performance measurement report. K, village administrator's report.
Okay, very good. So, if you could take the vote, please.
Trustee Corsini?
Yes.
Trustee Cargi?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Conti?
Yes.
Trustee Hennick?
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay. So let's take F and then we'll take H. That's great. So if I can get a motion to approve F and we'll discuss it, and get a second for discussion purposes.
I move to approve the revision to the village board policy for electronics attendance.
I'll second.
All right. So yes, okay, Carmela.
Okay, so the one question that I had and I asked Eric today was as far as when someone is attending a meeting over phone, electronic means, how do we protect the integrity of executive session? Because you're not able to see whether or not, you know, there's someone in that area that may or may not overhear that type of conversation. So that was one of my concerns.
Sure. It, similar to an in-person executive session, a level of trust is expected and required so that people who attend those meetings, trustees, staff, consultants, et cetera, keep those matters held to the highest confidence. You know, a similar concern is raised when people take matters from executive session in person and then discuss them outside. So I think the same level of trust is expected and hoped for, and there are limited avenues to trying to enforce the norms and requirements of the law with regard to that confidentiality. I think it's up to everyone to affirm to themselves and the others that they're acting in the best interest of the village in those instances. You know, and more than that, it could fall under your ethics ordinance as well to act in the best interest of the village, to not have it on a speakerphone with someone involved in the executive session topic in the room as well, much in the same way that you would not expect someone to leave here and then go speak with that person about what happened.
Okay. And then the other question I had was just the only way we can really avoid abuse, I'm not saying this board, but future, you know, boards where people miss numerous meetings and attend electronically, is just the fact that we have a vote to allow that to happen at the board table before it does.
Right. Okay. And that is now a formal part of the policy in item
E.
E.
Right.
which is that there be a roll call vote prior to each attendance. That was the procedure that was followed for Ms. Hennick at the last meeting and has been the board's practice in administering this policy in the past.
Okay. All right, those were my basic questions.
Any further questions? Hearing none, let's go ahead and take the vote of F.
Shall I go through the vote?
You go ahead and read it. Okay.
F, revision to village board policy for electronic attendance. Okay. Trustee Cargi?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Conti?
Yes.
Trustee Hennick?
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs?
Yes.
Trustee Corsini?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay. So now we're on back to H on the motion. So should we move the motion? You want to explain it then?
Yes, would be happy to provide the background.
So if I can get a motion to approve the accounts payable invoice from Anderson Elevator in the amount of $1,201.99. Your second?
I'll second.
Okay, very good. And then I'll let...
Thank you. when I was reviewing the board packet for the meeting earlier this morning, I noticed that there was an invoice for Anderson Elevator, who I'm aware is the employer of Trustee Gibbs. I spoke then with Eric Pallman, with Mr. Gibbs about it, and determined in order to be most protective of the rules of ethics, it was appropriate to have a separate vote on this matter where Trustee Gibbs would recuse himself as an employee of that company in order to avoid even the appearance of anything untoward. After speaking with Trustee Gibbs, I do not believe that there is any statutory conflict of interest in this matter and that it can be addressed by simply having Trustee Gibbs recusing himself and not voting on this matter, meaning that Clerk White would not call for a vote on his name and the minutes would reflect that he abstained.
Okay.
So this will be monthly, or how often will that happen?
I believe that they are quarterly invoices based on how they come in, and so they could just be included on a separate item for approval going forward. Just the best practice to be cautious in these areas, obviously. So that's the recommendation.
Yep. Okay. Greg, can I speak?
Yeah.
Certainly.
Just for the people in the room, we've taken care of the elevator in this building for, I think, 25 years when Greg Kramer was around. So anyway, that's it.
Okay, so no further questions or comments. We'll go ahead and take the roll call.
Say Trustee Gibbs. He'll abstain. So everybody else, but
you don't call Trustee Gibbs.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Conti.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome. Okay, so next up is boards and committees and commissions.
Well, do we have to approve? We approved the accounts payable, so we're all set.
Yeah, we're all
okay,
set.
Okay, that was just the separate.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we did all of them, and we pulled B. So next up is item number six, boards, committee, and commission reports. There's a list of these. I will go through them. Once I get a motion to concur with the recommendations of mine from item 6A-I, over 6A, oh no, it's 6A1 to 6A9 for the boards and commission appointments effective May 1st, 2017.
I move to concur with the recommendations of the village president.
Can we pull one out now or after?
We could pull it out after.
Okay. I recommend concur with the recommendations of the village president for 6A1 through 6A9 for the board and commission appointments effective May 1st, 2017.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay. So you want to go ahead, Carmela. So you want to pull, which one would you like to pull?
6AI4.
6AI4. So, okay, for the record, Trustee Corsini's pulling out reappointment of Colette Dixon, English Dixon, for 4-year term expiring 4/30/2021. Okay, so we'll wait on, I guess I'll say, is the motion, the person that moved and seconded, are you good with that? You want to pull out number four?
We have.
You want to amend it?
I don't really want to.
Don't.
Amend it.
Excuse me?
I would not amend it.
Not amend it.
So
Carmela's asking you to remove a name. You're saying no.
What's
I just
want
to get the record straight.
Just a second. Let me consider this. If it was up to me, I wouldn't remove it because she's a...
So her options is not to do it, or the option is to grant the... take it out, and we can have a discussion. And we can vote separately.
That's why I asked if we can remove it before the motion was made. So I wasn't
sure what the process was. It is... Is that the agenda would have been that? So, all right, are you willing to take it out and have a separate discussion?
I would prefer not to. I will allow my trustees though to discuss it.
Okay. You okay with that?
I'm not sure what she did.
Oh, she took out 6A.
You're amending the motion.
Amending the motion to take out 6A4.
6A.
A14. Reappointment of Colette. And we'll have a separate conversation.
All right.
All right. So, which is fine. So let's go ahead. Let me name for the record the boards and commission appointments. These are my appointments, and trustees will not approve. For the Economic Development Commission, the appointment of Robert O'Connell is chair. He's already existing member. The reappointment of Nina Mass. The reappointment of Tim Brangle. The appointment of Colin Brown, who is here, so thank you, Colin, for a four-year term. The Development Review Board, the reappointment of Frank Martin, both as a member and as chair. The appointment of Jerry Drombowski, and the reappointment of Lisa Ryan, all for a two-year term. On the Plan Commission, the reappointment of Ori Gottlieb for a four-year term. On the Zoning Board of Appeals, my recommendations are a reappointment of Frank Martin, the reappointment of David Burney, and the appointment of Robert Swindle, all for five-year terms. On the Traffic and Safety Commission, my recommendations are a reappointment of John Cleary, the reappointment of John Oska, the reappointment of Rick Gillis, and the reappointment of Stephen Wade. Again, all 4 years. The Historic Preservation Commission, my recommendations are the reappointment of Michael Prince, the reappointment of Carla Graham Wright, and the reappointment of Brian Prestes, all for four-year terms. On the Board and Fire and Police Commission, the reappointment of Mark Walsh for a three-year term. On the Police Pension Fund, the reappointment of Joan Rock, the reappointment of Heath Bray, all for two-year terms. And on the Fire Pension Fund Board, the reappointment of Joan Rock for a three-year term. I believe all the, most of the resumes and information was part of your packet. Again, my rule is always I seek people who want to be part of our community volunteer. Again, I remind everybody, including the trustees, these are all volunteers. They all provide their time and energy just like we do, and they all love this community just like we do. So, like Caller Brown, he actually put in one in 2013. And so I go back to all the, you know, the different names and make sure that, you know, people get a chance to serve as well. So there are a few people that didn't get reappointed only because they're either moving out of the neighborhood or their work was was too much. So those are the mainly, if not always, the reason why reappointments don't happen, at least from my point of view. So with that, if there's any questions regarding any one of these people, I'd be happy to speak about them. I do talk to each and every one of them, and I have the highest regards for each and every one of them. So if you have any personal questions on this, I'd be happy to address it. If not, I'd ask the clerk to take the vote.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes, thank you for coming to the board meeting, Mr. Brown. Thank you.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay, very good. So now we need, I guess, a motion, right? To
Trustee Conti.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Did I just jump in?
Yes.
I thought you were finished. You're so slow. I'm sorry. Okay, very good. You're not slow. You're very deliberate. All righty. So now we'll need a motion to reappoint Colette English Dixon for a four-year term. can I hear a motion to reappoint?
I move to reappoint Cola English Dixon to a four-year term expiring April 30th,
2020. Okay, you hear a second? Okay, very good. All right, you've got the floor.
I don't really have comment other than qualifications are great. There's just an incident that was a little upsetting last year as far as professionalism towards the village board, and so that was my concern for a reappointment for this year.
Okay. I'll go further. The idea that a sitting committee member would sit at our village board meeting and use vulgar language in reference to one of the sitting trustees while that trustee is speaking, no apology was generated, no explanation was generated. She's not deserving to be in the spot as far as I'm concerned.
Further comments?
I vaguely I remember the meeting, but I don't remember her comment, so I can't speak to that. It was a bit contentious, I remember that, on a number of different sides, but I do know her to be highly qualified and committed to this village and to that committee, and I think we're just very fortunate to have her on board. And I like I said, perhaps what you heard is what you heard. I can't deny that, but I do know that she's very qualified, and we're very fortunate to have her, and I don't anticipate we should have anything as contentious and personal that as that meeting came out again.
But Susan, that's exactly my point, that the idea that a committee that serves this board in an advisory capacity would be contentious is what I have problems with. Traditionally, this board receives advice from the subcommittees, in this case, economic development. We either accept or reject their recommendation, and everybody moves on. In the last year or so, the EDC seems more than happy to take shots at this board using terms like, I told you so, when it comes to Lakin Park. I don't think we need that.
I'm sorry, I can't agree with you less. I don't think that, I remember one meeting, it was a full meeting, we had contentiousness all around, included in the audience and here. It was just highly charged. I don't remember anything happening since then.
And that's my point, though. Why are they contentious with us?
Well, I don't think they
if we don't take their
us.
Advice, and then we're the
it
bad
was
guy?
Once, it was an incident that will not be repeated. Well, and it was not
Tom Hazinski. Tom Hazinski scolded me at his own meeting while I sat in the back. That was the second time.
At the end of the day, we and all of the committees that we appoint serve the residents before us, not us. And I think that Colette is one of the most qualified people on the committee. I know two people at least on the committee who have told me that she's a leading member of the committee. She's currently the president of the Business School of Roosevelt. It would be the loss of our residents if we were a loser. The Economic Development Committee is sort of evolving now into a potent force, I hope. That's always been my goal. And we need people like her on that board. We may not disagree with her. We may not agree with her. But at the end of the day, what's important is that we get the advice that she can offer. And I think that that's the important part. Not so much whether or not she's nice to us or we're nice to her.
And you're okay with her criticizing us in public if we don't take her advice?
Yes, we took the job for her, Mike. We should expect to be criticized.
Okay, yeah, I didn't really mean for this conversation to get personal. The only question that I had was, again, nothing about qualifications. I think it was unfortunate. And I'm not sure if the resolution, I mean, I did speak to you about it. I don't know if there was ever an apology or a discussion about it. And other than that, you know, I just feel that if you're going to sit in the audience and verbally, you know, talk about people at the board table in a manner that's unbecoming and unprofessional, I thought that was not right. And when residents overhear those types of comments, it's just not right. So, I mean, I can vote in favor of her. I just thought, you know, maybe an apology would have been appropriate. So.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, from my point of view, since it's my appointment, I have nothing but the highest regard for Colette. She's not only professional, she's got enormous experience. She spends her time and energy trying to help us. You know, we want people to give us all different points of view. We all want to act professional. So I am completely 100% behind her. I think she wants to give back, and I'm just happy that she has chosen to do this another 4 years. So,
Kathy, can I just add?
Sure.
I actually do not know Colette, but I did listen to the EDC meeting where Ehlers was presenting their plan for moving forward on Lake and Park. And as you know, with audio, it's sometimes hard to know who's saying what, but you eventually pick up on who's talking. And so I got to know that that was Colette. And so I specifically went to the website to find out her full name and who she was, because I was actually quite impressed with the comments she made and the questions she made, and she really participated, I felt, in a very positive manner and added to the conversation.
And again, this has nothing to do with professional.
No, I appreciate what you're saying, and I don't know, I'm not aware of that situation.
So even if it's just bringing it up for just future reference, you know, that if we are more than happy to have residents participate. We want residents to be great committee members. We value their input. I think it's just, you know, when it gets to that point where we're being called names in public, which is not appropriate, I just think, you know, maybe we should all think about that. So, and that's all.
Trustee Basco?
Yes. I've been involved with a number of public meetings of which I've been called a number of names, which I will not repeat in public. And I know there are a lot of people who advocate for their positions, and we get caught up on what we want or what we suggest or think that's in the best interest of everybody. Sometimes, unfortunately, that comes with some language, and I'm not saying it's right. I think it's inappropriate. It would have been nice if there was an apology. But if it sounds like this person is very well qualified, I would only suggest that maybe President Ducey, you just talk to Colette and ask her if she would just refrain from making those comments in the future, if she made those comments along those lines.
Okay, thank you. Alrighty, so with that, let's go ahead and take the vote on the reappointment of Colette English Dixon for 4 years, please.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Conte.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
No.
Trustee Corsini.
No.
Okay. Very good. 4-2.
Yes.
Very
Motion
good.
Motion passed.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. Let's move on to unfinished. Thank you so much. Welcome to the Economic Development Commission. All right. Unfinished business. So this is an update on North Avenue TIF district. If I can get a... no, we don't have any. Oh, yes, we do. Motion to somebody can read that. We need a motion on update on the North Avenue TIF district.
I'll move to review and pass an ordinance adopting an amendment to ordinances 3540 and 3553, authorizing the study of the feasibility of establishing tax increment allocation financing to improve deteriorating physical conditions and stimulate new economic development within the general area of North Avenue in the Village of River Forest.
Second? Anybody second?
Second.
Okay.
At this time, I would like to disclose and recuse myself from this particular issue. I'm from the law firm of Franzig Radlett, and we represent both the River Forest School District 90 as well as the Oak Park River Forest High School District 200. Because of that, I do feel I have a common law conflict of interest, not a financial one per se, but because I don't want to be perceived of breaching any of my fiduciary duties as a village trustee or as an attorney for the law firm that represents the school district. I will be making this disclosure, recusing myself, and I would like to be excused and step out of the room if that's right.
Yes, yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. And then Clerk White.
And we will let you know. Oh, I'm sorry.
Clerk White, Trustee Vasquez will not be called for a vote on this matter. Thank you.
And we'll make sure we won't let you linger out there afterwards. Promise you.
We'll give you the sign.
He kind of said, how long will this be? Hopefully not too long. All right. So with that, we had a motion and a second, so if I can get any further discussion on what this is, and maybe you want to give a little update just to remind the new, Patty?
Right, so we're in the process of formulating all the due diligence for the proposed North Avenue TIF district. Part of that is setting the boundary for the TIF district, so In order for the reports and all the due diligence matters to be completed, we have to say, okay, well, this is what our boundary appears to be. You can always bring that boundary in later at a later date and not affect the process by which you're in, correct?
You can't go out, right?
Right, you just can't go further. So, you know, so we go ahead. So this is very similar to where we were a couple years ago in terms of that boundary. And so what you would do tonight is adopt this ordinance, and then we would go ahead and complete our due diligence matters with Kane McKenna, and then come back to you with some of those draft reports, communication strategy, as well as a timeline.
Is this map definitive? Or is it, so in other words, is this the actual drawing, potential drawing of the outer edges of it?
Yes.
So, because it looks like it's more than, some of them is more than three houses in.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah. So it's more, you know, linear in terms of an actual straight line drawn across. You know, the problem you run into on some of this is no perfect science with it. So, you know, we just try to make it as easy as possible for the layperson to kind of look at and understand. So sometimes it's less than three, sometimes it's more than three.
Right.
It just, it depends.
I mean, the one big bump out is because it's at St. Vincent's, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, you'll see if older... you'll see them, they're jig-jagged, and this is just really smoothing it out.
So did we, I mean, have we gone through, because I don't know, just because of the picture, to mm-hmm. Tom's point, it looks like we're drawing a line sort of between property, you know, so you're separating it, or you've already looked at all the pins, and you have so many certain feet from North Avenue, or how did you determine it?
I think they
like if you look at Forest, there's like a roof line that looks like there's part of it. Kind of
yeah, that one I think is okay. The idea is that these are all on lot lines, that
okay.
none of these would bifurcate
okay.
A pin.
And also to be clear, the intention is that all the adjacent rights-of-way, the boundaries would extend across all the rights-of-way to the village, the village's edge of the jurisdiction. So half of North Avenue, half of Harlem, and all of Thatcher.
I'm sure the computer lines just aren't, you know, not, you know, very...
Yeah, the challenge on this on Friday was when we were finalizing this, the GIS system was down, and so we actually had to draw a red line, as you learned tonight in your PDF class. So,
it
was. So the intent here as we drew this, there should be no bifurcation of lots.
So unlike Madison Street, Vincent's is that the only tax-exempt property in the whole run that I can think of?
Well,
Montessori
school.
Montessori is not tax exempt.
They have an agreement to pay taxes.
They have a payment in lieu of taxes, so that's non-traditional.
So, again, my lack of complete knowledge in the topic, are there advantages or disadvantages to having tax exempt properties?
It's more of an issue of contiguity to connect both sides. So you can't. Well, we had this discussion early on. You can't pull a property out and try to link it through the right-of-way. You actually have to have parcels,
okay.
The actual parcel in there. So I couldn't take, for example, I couldn't take St. Vincent's out of the map and then connect the two through the sidewalk. I have to have the actual property in there.
Yeah. And keeping St. Vincent's in the boundary also allows for the village to do public works if the village needed to run a utility line through their property, that would be an eligible expense that could be reimbursed with the TIF funds.
Right. Yeah, I was just curious what the advantages or disadvantages of knowing that we're never going to acquire St. Vincent's campus.
It becomes a link in the chain of property.
It's contiguous.
Right.
Just to keep it contiguous. And I don't want to counteract, but it is not pilot. It is a true commercial property that they pay taxes on, even though they're a non-exempt entity. They agreed to that in the contract. A pilot or payment in lieu of taxes would create a different taxing structure. It would all the taxes would come to us. They actually pay their taxes, and it goes all
they,
to.
They came before us.
I know
years
they
ago.
Were asking. They were asking
to ask for a pilot.
I know this. Very
okay.
Well.
Sorry.
Yeah, they pay full.
Yes.
Full freight.
Okay.
They pull
freight.
So I confused that with their request that they wanted to be
So this looks good.
So what's the next step then?
So to get this approved to start to the feasibility study?
They're already working on those, and so this is just before. I didn't want to get too far along and present all this at once, and then they've done all the due diligence work, and you're like, well, I don't like this line. kind of embarrassing, so I want to get this set. We have to approve it by ordinance anyhow. And so now they'll go ahead. We're working on the housing impact study, all those other studies. And so we'll bring all that back. And then we'll, along with that, will be the timeline and the communication strategy.
Well, with this, we've established the breadth of the TIF.
Yes. Correct. Unless you adopt a new ordinance and start over.
Okay. I understand. All right. Very good. So does it sound like there's any more comments, questions? That's good. I'll take the vote.
Trustee Conte.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay. Yes, do you mind? Thank you. I was going to text him, but.
So he can't participate even in any of the discussions?
Correct.
Okay.
We voted you off, guys.
Is that show still on?
Yes.
Could be. Okay, very good. So now we're moving on to new business. And the first item up is a waiver for formal bids and contracts, contract award to Housiel Levine for consulting services not to exceed in the amount of $86,500. Can I hear a motion, please? To move that?
I move to waive formal bids and a contract award and contract the award to Housiel Levine LLC for consulting services not to exceed the amount of $86,500.
Is it a second?
Second.
Okay. So,
do you want to maybe go into this a little bit?
Sure. Yeah. Before you tonight, and just as a point of reference, when we do RFPs for consulting services, we're technically not going out to formal bid. So it's important for the public to know, just because we're waiving formal bidding requirements doesn't mean there was a competitive process. There was. We did go to RFP. We interviewed two firms for the work. Housiel Levine, which has done work for us in the past, John Housiel is the principal there, was identified as the top consultant, the top choice. And so this is the commencement then of our comprehensive plan process. Our last comprehensive plan was updated in 2003. And so we'll be going through essentially a 12-month process. So think of it as like a strategic plan for the entire community that involves land use, transportation, economic development, et cetera. And so what you'll be doing is approving a contract tonight. Certainly John has a working knowledge of the village, has some institutional and historical knowledge. I think his expertise, along with some additional consultants that will be new to the village in terms of a new traffic consultant, as well as a new economic development consultant, well, slightly new because they are working for us on Lakin Park, I think are going to provide a nice balance of that historical knowledge and perspective, as well as some fresh ideas and new perspectives. So that's what you'll be approving tonight. If you look at the contract, you'll see that those new subcontractors are identified in the contract documents. And there will be a kickoff meeting with the board coming up here during the summer, and then along with the Plan Commission. The Plan Commission is your main advisory body that will be advising the village board on this. And so they haven't met in quite some time, so this will give. Yes, they do.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, tell them that you did have a conversation with.
So I spoke to the chairperson, Chairman Ryan, and then also emailed the Plan Commission as well, so they're well aware that this is starting up. So it'll be the first meeting in my tenure here. So.
We only do this once every 15 years.
Yeah, so this is great. Thank you, Eric. I know it's a lot of work, but you're absolutely right. John Housiel certainly knows our community, and his references are impeccable. And this is right up in his wheelhouse. So, I like it. Any comments from any of the trustees?
Just happy we're starting this process.
Yep.
It's going to be a great way to involve the community in a vision for River Forest for the next many years.
So. Yep. Yeah, it sure is. Okay, let's take a vote.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Conte.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so moving on to B, we have no action here, I guess just more of a, oh yeah, we do, oh no, we don't. This is more of a discussion to talk about a fun item, a non-domesticated animals in residential zoning districts. So I don't know where to start. It's kind of fun, actually. Well, we know we have dogs and cats and birds, but we have a few residents that have ducks and chickens and now beehives. And so I thought, after Eric and I were talking a little bit, Eric thought, you better start talking to all of you about what we should do, because our code is very specific on what animals and we can and cannot habitat or have in our home. Here we are. I think Eric did a very nice job in his memo identifying the different options that we have and what the issues are. But maybe for the sake of just more clarification, we can go through those options, and especially the beehive one, because I know you particularly have some concerns on that.
Yeah. So what's been coming up through the last a couple weeks, months, and years, to a certain extent, as we're being made aware of residents that may have chickens, bees, and in some cases ducks. And so the staff has, in those cases, relied on the village code to go back to those residents and unfortunately tell them that those types of uses are not permitted in a residential zoning district. And as I cited in the memo, as you get into the 821, it outlines a bunch of animals, and most of these code requirements go back to at least 1981. So cattle, horses, swine, sheep, goats, ducks, geese, chickens, and other poultry are permitted in any zoning district. And then we get into a little bit more looser language in terms of dangerous animals. But again, as you get into dangerous animals and then also nuisances, that's where we have gone back and said that bees are not permitted. And I just want to be clear, too. I don't want to get into a debate on whether the bee is becoming extinct or not or anything like that. I mean, I understand those concerns, and I don't have a reason to disagree with them. The question becomes, do you want that type of use in a residential zoning district, right? So, and if you do, I think I'm not looking to create more government, but the only concern I have as your village administrator is just the safety concern for our village staff and potentially utility workers. So, if you're going into a backyard, I think the police and the fire, public works, and even folks at ComEd and NICOR and those guys that may have to access that should know that those are back there. Speaking with our chiefs today at our staff meeting, they had indicated they do have some staff members, some employees that are concerned about this. And so at a minimum, if we're going to go down that road, I think we should regulate it. And I'm not a fan of always more government, but I think government regulation to protect the interests of the public safety folks and other neighbors, I think, is important. So essentially, if you look at the memo, and the village attorney helped advise me with this, really your options so far is, number one, you can keep the code as is, and we'll continue to regulate as we have done previously. Two, we can ban bees explicitly. So if you want to go on the opposite side of not having them, we can add them to the list of animals prohibited in 821. Item three talks about bees, chickens, and ducks in terms of some sort of special use through your zoning process. So much like in the zoning land use chart, where you would have a use that is not permitted as a matter of right, but would require a special use, you could require a public hearing, have them go through a process to allow that. And then item four, a little bit less intrusive, but still, again, would require approval from the village with some building code and zoning regulations. So I'm thinking setback from a lot line, things like that, signage on the property, and then a license that we would administer. So there would be, much like you would get a dog tag, you would come in, be probably a little bit more money, and you would get your bees licensed and regulated. Chickens, bees. Each bee would get a tag, and you would go that route. So it'd be,
we'll put a chip in.
You know, it'd be 12,000 tags. So anyhow, but and I think that's important, because there are people, I think, on the bee side, especially not so much on the chickens and the ducks, that are concerned about their safety. There are people that can be allergic to bee stings. And you saw in the memo, Riverside has recently put something together as a pilot program. So if you were to go down that road, that would probably be a similar road you could follow. So, again, we're telling the members of your community no on all these right now. So we can continue to do that, or if you would like to change that, this would be the time to start having that discussion.
How many members have been approaching us of our community looking for bees?
Well, what set this off recently was the one resident who already received them, and then we got a complaint from a neighbor, and the neighbor came back and said, I have some general concerns about this, about the safety of my children. I don't want this here.
So
it doesn't sound like we get a lot, but the fact that we get one is enough, right?
So how does Dominican, because they have bees.
Yes.
Is that under educational, or how does that work?
Yeah, well, it's a non-residential zoning district, and so the bee issues that have come up to our attention have been based on complaints, right? So when we're notified and someone believes it's a nuisance, that's how we've been approaching those particular situations. So the Dominican one is more contained within their educational unit, and that's why I've even said within our discussion tonight, we're really looking at this in terms of the residential zoning district.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The roosters.
Quack.
Females' chickens
It's the roosters.
It's the roosters.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I think the issue is sort of the inconvenience of the neighbors. And I'm not saying that neighbors can tell you how to live your house, but, you know, I would think, given how relatively small the lots are, that a beehive does pose a risk to neighbors. I mean, I don't know how often bees sting, but certainly they do. So that's the concern that I have, that it's the enjoyment of you with your beehive prevents me from having my kids walk in my backyard. So I guess for me, the issue, ducks and chickens, I don't know. I mean, if they're noisy, then I guess that's an issue. But I don't think, other than salmonella, I don't think they pose a safety risk. But I think bees do pose a safety risk.
So I have one concern and one not concern. I've never been able to use the word catamount in a sentence, and it's in our code. It means a wild animal like a cougar, and those are not allowed, in case any of you have any home. But by definition, in 823, wild by nature and dangerous to mankind. Hello, I'm a bee. So, I mean, that one, it's not that, I mean, I've been stung by a bee, it didn't kill me, but, I mean, the idea that children would be in an area that on the other side, even if it's a well-kept hive, I can't guarantee that those kids aren't going over there. And that would be a real drag to say, I told you so, to a kid that's now looks like a beach ball because he got stung by the bees. So
there's
a reason why we put these laws in there as farmland moved west and more houses went up and trains brought people from the city. Seems kind of we're going back to, and we're going to end up having the same problems that we had when they put these rules in the first place.
Yeah, the only thing with that is that I think you can almost say how far do you go? I mean, is a pit bull, a Rottweiler? I mean, are they, wild? You know, we have lots of owners that have pit bulls and Rottweilers.
But they don't fly over the fence.
Yeah, but they get out of the their fence and they've bitten people. But like you said, we're not here to kind of debate. I think the issue is since the demand isn't that high, right, for beehives, and it looks like, I'm not quite sure the pilot and how the pilot's going in Riverside, kind of be interesting to see how that goes. Managing it like through a zoning ordinance, meaning how far it needs to be set back, how far it needs to be in their home, licensing, making sure that it's protected. That's a good way to make sure that,
can we gauge the residents in some sort of survey and see? I mean, because let's be honest, your home prices here are pretty high, and you're spending a lot of money in real estate taxes, and having ducks and chickens makes it sort of a rural feel. And I get that people enjoy these types of things, but you also have to realize that there may be an impact to the community as well as far as that. So can we gauge residences?
Well, we could do that. Wait, let me give you an example on the duck. I mean, this would never even come up, frankly. Maybe the beehive would have, but the duck wouldn't have. There's a lady that lives on Forest, right? Do I have that right? Maybe it's somewhere else. Forest, the south end of Forest. She's had a duck for 17 years, and there's not been one complaint.
Chickens, you need to have a coop.
Yeah, I know, but let me get to, so there's not, you're just gauging the residents. I mean, that to me is a gauge. The only reason is we happen to have an enforcement officer on that block that saw a duck. and said, that doesn't belong here. And frankly, in talking with people about the duck, I mean, people just thought it was a very pleasant, nice thing for kids to have, and they never saw it as, you know, a wild animal or unhealthy. So that's just my, you know, gauging a, you know, resident, somebody having ducks for 17 years means nobody's really complaining. As far as the chicken coop, you know, yeah, I thought there are a few folks even unauthorized having chicken coops, and I haven't heard any complaints. Have you? I mean, has anybody around the table? Have you guys? I haven't heard anything.
So who has them or who wants
Well, we know that they're out there. I mean,
who, anyone complaining?
Anybody complaining?
But we're when we find those, we're enforcing them. To
yes,
well,
but,
of course.
But how many have we enforced? I don't.
I can't recall one in nearly 4 years. I mean, I've been here almost 4 years, and I don't know that I've gotten a single complaint. Not to say we haven't gotten any ever, but
yeah,
I don't recall.
I think we got more requests to can we have them than we get rid of them.
Correct.
So, and if Trustee Dwyer was here, he'd say the same thing.
Yeah. Yes, pretty passionate.
I think the beehive is definitely, you know, something that needs to probably more thought through.
Yeah, and I also think that if we're going to make a decision about beehives, we really don't know anything about them.
Right.
We should have someone maybe give us a little presentation, and then we can make it an
right.
informed choice.
I agree.
About them. I think they don't all sting, some of them do, you know, whatever.
Well there's got to be some standards out there that beekeepers use as far as how to blend with population, that kind of thing.
There's a state law that regulates apiaries, which are a fancy name for beehives, and if you have one, you have to get a license from the state. If you look at the Riverside Ordinance in your packet, you'll see that one of the conditions in Riverside is that you get your state license, which they come out and they'll inspect, and you got to pay a fee. And so there is a minimum standard if you're licensed under state law. There's some people who may not have that license.
What kind of liability do we open ourselves up to? Any liability if someone does get hurt?
The village itself? No. No, the village would not be exposed to liability for allowing those to happen. If someone improperly maintained their beehive that was the proximate cause of someone getting stung or hurt, then it would be their fault potentially.
So the property owner could potentially be on the hook for...
Yeah.
And that's why the Riverside Ordinance, if you saw it, it included a requirement that you have insurance, which specifically does not exclude beehives, so that there's a minimum level of insurance to help pay for injuries that could be approximately caused by those bees.
It actually happens with dog owners. So here's a suggestion. I mean, you know, I think Eric and the team did a nice job of kind of... giving us a summary. We could do this. We can ask the Sustainability Commission to kind of give us an update on beehives and give us their input. Again, this is just for discussion, so we can get a little bit more information from them and not lay it on the staff. And we could say, what do you guys think? And then take it and then look at Riverside's pilot a little bit further.
Do we know where Riverside is in there? What stage are they at?
I think Mike Marsovic got there. I mean, it's...
It's underway.
It's underway.
The ordinance was adopted late last year, and so now this spring and summer, people are putting the hives in, and there's a review at the end of this year. The village manager there will be delivering a report, and the board will decide whether to renew the program, make it permanent, or revoke it at the end of the year. They also have a pilot program going for chicken coops as well now for the same period. So
we can have them give a presentation, or if they're willing. I know the Riverside Mayor real well. I mean, I'm sure they'd be willing to give us a presentation.
Interesting
and
to hear their feedback.
And the pilot ideas.
I like it.
Kind of.
It's your point, you know. You'll really get residents' input then from some pilots.
So suggestions to wait until... get results, or you're gonna remand this to a committee? Go to a board committee?
My suggestion is, since we've got the Sustainability Commission, we can have the people from Riverside talk to the commission and talk to us as well, and you know, give, and then they can kind of weigh in, and we can come back and have another round of discussions to see whatever they brought made any sense. I mean, this is just the initial kind of conversation. So, and then we can go from
there.
Can
we ask our sustainability people to keep an eye on the Riverside progress?
I think that's what we're
saying. That's what I just said.
Yeah.
I just said that. I said, so what we'll do is we'll have Riverside kind of give a presentation, come in, help us through this with the commission, and then have them come to us.
Makes sense to hear their evaluation, just because they may come back with things that they say, oh, I wish we did this instead, or we should have added that.
You mean from Riverside?
Yeah, and hear what lessons they've learned from it. They're close enough, it sounds like, to where they're at to be to that point.
So we're clear, refer to sustainability and get input from Riverside.
Riverside, and then come back with all that report back to the board, and we'll have another discussion over this and see if that if we made any progress.
Okay.
Very good. So
then are we going into executive session to amend?
Yeah, to amend the minutes.
Okay. So we're going to adjourn our regular scheduled meeting and move into executive session. So can I have a motion?
For purposes of discussion, closed session minutes.
For purposes of discussion. Minutes.
I move that we adjourn from regular meeting and go into executive session meeting in order to discuss minutes. For purposes of discussing.
Right. Second.
Okay, very good.
All in favor?
I have to do a roll call.
Okay, please. Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Conti.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Motion passed. Now I need a motion
and
to
then
go.
We need to open up the room.
Are you recording now?
Yeah.
Okay. No. Okay. Nobody's up. Nobody? Okay. If I can get a motion to go into open session.
I move to go into open session.
Can I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. Okay. So we're, we need a roll call. Thank you.
Trustee Corsini.
Here.
Trustee Cargi.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Conti.
Here.
Trustee Hennick.
Here.
Trustee Gibbs.
Here.
President Aducey.
Here. Thank you. Okay, now I'll need a motion to revise the executive session meeting minutes of May 22nd, 2017.
I move to approve the revised Village of River Forest executive session meeting minutes dated May 22nd, 2017.
Okay, yeah,
second.
All right. Trustee Hennick seconded. Any comments? None? We'll take a vote, please.
Trustee Cargi?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Conti?
Yes.
Trustee Hennick?
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs?
Yes.
Trustee Corsini?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Very good. Okay, thank you. All right, so we're adjourning. So anybody want
to adjourn
the meeting?
Move to
second.
Okay.
Aye.
All in favor?
You guys are too fast. I can't write my one and two down fast enough. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?